KEXP thanks contributing donors and the Real Networks Foundation for supporting Mind Over Matters.
This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Jenny Sullivan, Special Projects Director and U.S. Bicycle Route System Coordinator for the Adventure Cycling Association. Jenny also serves on the Task Force on Bicycle Routes for ASHTO, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. Jenny Sullivan is here today to tell us about the benefits of a U.S. bicycle route system and progress made towards its implementation. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Adventure Cycling Association?
Yes, I'd love to. Adventure Cycling Association is a nonprofit organization. We specialize in creating long-distance bicycle routes, and we've been in existence since 1973. We're the largest nonprofit bike organization on the continent with over 44,500 members. We've been strategically developing mapped and bicycle routes since that time, and our most known route is the Transamerica Bicycle Trail, which traverses the heartland of America from Oregon to Virginia.
Let's go on now and talk about the U.S. bicycle route system. What led to the idea of having a U.S. bicycle route system? What is the history?
Well, the history of a U.S. bicycle route system really starts back when Adventure Cycling Association was starting our Transamerica Bicycle Trail in honor of America's bicentennial year. At that time, we were called Bike Centennial, and in 1976, about 4,000 people rode across the U.S. on that Transamerica Trail. And after that, state departments of transportation became interested in creating cross-state routes and cross-country routes similar to what we were doing in our mode to create this touring route. So in 1979, ASHTO, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, became involved and developed a purpose and policy statement for the development of U.S. bicycle routes. Then in 1982, two routes were designated, U.S. Bike Route 76, which follows the Transamerica Bike Trail through Virginia, Kentucky, and Illinois, and U.S. Bike Route 1, which follows the Adventure Cycling Atlantic Coast Route through Virginia and North Carolina. After those states designated those two routes, no other states became involved, and it really kind of fell off the scale of interest from departments of transportation and local transportation authorities. We were busy, Adventure Cycling Association was busy at that time, just trying to redefine ourselves after the 1976 tour of 4,000 people across America. And we were developing routes and forming our identity and working on membership development. So we really didn't have the time or opportunity to help states implement these routes.
What are the benefits of having a U.S. bicycle route system?
Oh, the benefits are many. It provides an opportunity for people to travel great distance or short distances on roads and trails that are recognized by road authorities as suitable for bike travelers and cyclists. So people can ride for recreation or they can ride for transportation. Whatever the case may be, for the cyclists themselves, it's a benefit in health, an opportunity to use transportation in an active way. For communities that promote bicycling, it's an opportunity to create complete streets that welcome bicyclists and pedestrians and meet those needs, and really is an economic opportunity to create these touring routes because cyclists tend to stay longer in communities. They use the local services more. It's just really been a great economic benefit for those communities along our routes and these developing U.S. bicycle routes. The local communities see that they can have people eat in their restaurants or stay in their campgrounds or hotels, use their libraries and their public services as well as those private services. And it's a really low environmental impact on those communities. They're not welcoming, you know, cars or things that are going to impact their community negatively.
What is the overall plan or vision for a U.S. bicycle route system? What would the system look like?
The overall vision of the U.S. bike route system is to create a network of interstate bicycle routes that are supported by the state and local transportation agencies These routes will connect urban, suburban, and rural areas, and they will serve a variety of needs, both for transportation and touring. Maybe a little bit of an example here that might help people see the vision of the youth bike route system. Think about, for example, in Oregon, they're developing a scenic bikeways program, which really is all about people getting out on their bikes and enjoying the beautiful back roads of Oregon for the scenic benefit. What we hope to do in partnership with their scenic bikeways program is to create a transportation system that connects people from their front doors all the way to across their state line, but also connects to these scenic bikeways. So if they want to go out and recreate within their own state, they can hop on a used bicycle route, which then connects them to a scenic bikeway. Or if they want to actually travel, say, from Oregon to Seattle or from somewhere in Oregon to California, they'll be able to do that as well.
What are the requirements for a route to be part of the system?
That's interesting because the way this has been developed is similar to how maybe a scenic byways program has been developed. It's all voluntary. And we work with ASHTO, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. ASHTO is the membership group for state departments of transportation. That group, ASHTO, does the route designation for interstate highway systems. So when you cross a state line, the route number doesn't change. They're in charge also now of U.S. bicycle route designation. So it's really at the state DOT level that they decide what corridors in the national route system will be identified for implementation, and then they really set the tone for what those requirements are. All ASHTO requires is that when they nominate an interstate bicycle route, that they do it in partnership with a neighboring state so that it's an interstate route, not just a state route. So if a state department of transportation says we want it to be a grassroots movement developed by the local communities, then that's how it's going to work. If the State Department of Transportation says, well, we want to take control and we want it to be on roads that only have certain dimensions or certain attributes, they have that ability to do that as well. Where we're seeing the most progress is when the state DOT works in partnership with a grassroots organization, like a trail organization or a statewide or local bicycle organization. And this bicycle organization or trail organization takes it upon themselves to contact all the local road authorities and trail organizations to get buy-in from those communities, then brings it back to the state DOT, who then supervises the process and then fills out an application to ASHTO for the national designation. So there really, at this point, are no actual requirements on behalf of ASHTO. It's really up to each state to decide what their routes are going to look like. And that's why I think it's important for Adventure Cycling Association to be involved. We support the task force, staff support, and technical expertise to the state departments of transportation. So we get some kind of uniformity within these routes, and we share resources and common knowledge and best practices amongst the different states and those local organizations that are doing the implementation.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jenny Sullivan, Special Projects Director and U.S. Bicycle Route System Coordinator for the Adventure Cycling Association. Our topic is the U.S. Bicycle Route System and progress made towards its implementation. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. How much of a U.S. bicycle route system is likely to be completely new as opposed to connecting bicycle routes that are already in place?
You know, I think that right now what we're seeing is it's easiest to implement those routes that are already in place. I think you're going to see new routes develop after we get the ones that are already in place retrofitted and connected across state borders. You will see some new ones develop at the same time. I would say 75% of existing routes will probably be designated and 25% will be new routes. I say that just as a guess, really. I can't tell you for sure, but just from our experience, we have 29 states plus the District of Columbia, D.C., Washington, D.C., interested in development of U.S. bicycle routes at some level. We're seeing the most progress in states like Maine, New Hampshire, where they're using bits and pieces of both the adventure cycling route and the East Coast Greenway and state routes to develop those. In Michigan, they took the basic one of adventure cycling routes and started with that to develop U.S. Bike Route 20, but then they're also developing an entirely new route called U.S. Bike Route 35, which goes along the Lake Michigan shoreline. And we're also seeing Indiana collaborate with Michigan and develop this new route, U.S. Bike Route 35, all the way to Indianapolis and down to Louisville. So I think right now it's looking like about 75-25, which is very exciting. I think it's a great opportunity to seize upon all this work that has been done by local communities and adventure cycling and other long-distance trail organizations to capitalize on those and find some real winners so that the state departments of transportation and the local transportation authorities feel comfortable and confident and start seeing those benefits and then work from there.
Well, you've mentioned several states that have been quite active, but if you look overall throughout the U.S., what is the level of support from state and also from the federal government?
As I said, we have about 29 states on board right now, and they're at all various levels. So some states are still working to define what they want the transportation system to look like. Will they have certain attributes? And other states are digging in and doing route development right away, and they're going to approach it from a much different angle. From the Federal Highway Administration and AASHTO, we've received a great deal of verbal support. There isn't any money or funding tied to this program, and that's why it's important to use existing systems as much as possible. But the Federal Highway Association knows very much about the U.S. bike route system. Secretary Ray LaHood, the Secretary of the USDOT, blogged about the U.S. bike route system back in July. He really sees this as a really wonderful way to leverage agency time with local support and a real beneficial system that it's active and involves movement and all of that and gives back to local communities, so that's kind of nice.
Do you run across individuals or groups who are against implementing a U.S. bicycle route system?
Yeah, there's some challenges out there. So far, we haven't really run into them head on. So far, all the communities that we have been working with and that are grassroots organizations like Michigan Trails and Greenways Association and Hoosier Rails to Trails and some of those groups, they've received nothing but great support from the local communities. However, we recognize that there will be some challenges. Some states and local transportation agencies aren't supportive of bike touring and bicycling on their roads. They fear liability issues might come up. They don't want to pay for the cost of possibly signing a route or maintaining a route to better standards. So there are going to be some challenges out there, but so far, we've seen nothing but support and enthusiasm for the project, so we're going to keep building on that. One of the ways that the local communities have worked at is by getting resolutions of support from the local communities along a route and then leveraging that with the next community. So, for example, one county passes a resolution of support. They use that resolution of support to talk to the next county and say, really, you should support this. Look, your neighboring county has supported it, and that technique has worked very, very well.
What is generally taken into consideration in deciding which route to choose in a given location?
We call that criteria, route criteria. So what the task force did back in 2006 was develop a national corridor-level plan for states to start talking about the actual routes that they want to develop, and those can be a combination of roads and trails. And we developed as a task force some guiding principles, I guess you could say, or some guiding criteria. Now some of the states are actually working on their own criteria and what those things will look like. And generally, that criteria looks like low traffic roads, roads with shoulders if there is a certain amount of vehicles on those roads at any period of time during the day. So they want to keep the traffic count down on these routes as much as possible, or at least provide a 6-foot shoulder for cyclists to ride along so that they're not inhibited by that traffic. And so there's some general criteria, but again, like I said, it's really up to each state to decide what they want their route to look like. In some states, they're using their long-distance trails as their U.S. bicycle routes, at least their first implementable route, because they have to work with less jurisdictional agreements. Maybe they only have to work with their Department of Natural Resources versus every township and county that a road traverses, which makes it much simpler. Also, we're seeing a lot of cyclists wanting to use these long-distance trails, so it's a win on both counts.
What fraction, roughly, of the routes that are being considered are ones that aren't really part of a road for one reason or another, say even a new trail?
Well, for example, through Michigan on U.S. Bike Route 20, there'll be some trails stitched into the route. Maybe there's one trail that's about 6 miles long, but the majority of that route will be all on low-traffic county roads. Another route through Wisconsin, U.S. Bike Route 30, is 80% off-road. It's almost all trail. But with trail comes some challenges as far as cyclists go, and that being if it's hard-packed gravel, hard-packed surface, dirt surface that a touring bike or a road bike can traverse, that's fine. However, when the weather turns bad and it becomes muddy, it might be impassable. So departments of transportation and their local partners really have to take that into consideration. As far as the actual fraction of amounts of trails, you know, it's probably going to be 20% of the entire system is going to be off-road at this point, but I think that will grow over time as states develop more and more of these long-distance trails. You're seeing them pop up in, you know, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, all over the country, these longer-distance trails.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jenny Sullivan, Special Projects Director and U.S. Bicycle Route System Coordinator for the Adventure Cycling Association. Our topic is a U.S. bicycle route system and progress made towards its implementation. You've alluded to this a bit, but which parts of a U.S. bicycle route system are already in place, given the vision?
The two routes that I mentioned at the beginning, U.S. Bike Route 1 through the two states and U.S. Bike Route 76 through three states, those were completed in 1982. We will have additional new routes probably go to the AASHTO committee meeting for interstate designation in the spring. We'll probably have U.S. Bike Route 1 through Maine and New Hampshire go to that meeting for national designation. And the Michigan routes, hopefully U.S. Bike Route 35 from Sault Ste. Marie all the way down through Indiana, might go to AASHTO in the fall. So AASHTO, they meet twice a year to do regular meetings, and then as part of those regular meetings, they convene a small group called the Special Committee on Route Numbering. They look over these applications, and they assign the national designation. And so within the next year, we hope to have several routes go up for designation, but right now it's just those two that existed in 1982. We have no new ones actually designated yet. The National Corridor Plan was only approved by AASHTO chief executives, so the state departments of transportation all belong to AASHTO and serve on their national board of directors. They only voted their approval of the National Corridor Plan in 2008, so it takes a little bit of time to get all the jurisdictional agreements together and then the partnership with another state and fill out that application and get it to them. So I think we're doing really well to have maybe as many as four routes go to AASHTO within the next year. I'm really hopeful that we see all of that, and as they are successful, more states will get involved. I recently met with Washington State DOT just last week, as a matter of fact, and I was able to share with them exciting news about Alaska wanting to link into Washington's system through the ferry system in Bellingham. They were very excited about that. And then Oregon, I've been working with Oregon for the last year, and I met with them last week as well. And so Washington has great partners in their neighboring states, Alaska through the ferry system and Oregon south of them. They've been getting some interest from some of the other cities, Seattle, Spokane. The Bicycle Alliance of Washington is very supportive and will be helping with the project. So within the next 5 years, we're going to see a number of cross-country routes get developed. Whether or not they'll be from one end of the country all the way completed to the other end, like I said, we're taking what works and going with those and trying to win those systems, and we'll work on completing systems probably within the next 5 years. We'll be working to put pressure on other states so that we can complete a U.S. bicycle route all the way across the country, whether it be east, west, or north, south.
To what extent are bicycle route systems in place in other countries?
There are a number of networks in other countries, and that is what really spurred adventure cycling to get back into this ball game after the 1982 designations. We've seen significant progress in the United Kingdom's National Cycle Network. They now have over 12,000 miles of walking and cycling routes, and about 75% of their population lives within 2 miles of one of their National Cycling Network routes. So we really think that that's a really good example of success. Belloland, Switzerland, and right in our neighboring country of Canada, there's an excellent network called Quebec's La Route Verte system, which has over 4,000 kilometers of bike routes, and they're a combination of on-road and off-road. I think they're about 40-60, so 40% is off-road, 60% is on-road. They're signed. They have the Ministry of Transport is a huge supporter. They give them funding to help work on these routes, and they do a lot of infrastructure development. We're not seeking that level of support at this time, but, you know, it's a vision that we would like to emulate in the long run. Germany has a system. There is a Eurovelo cycle route network where they're developing an intercontinental or inter-country route network through all the European countries. So there's a lot to emulate out there, and it's really exciting. One of the things that Adventure Cycling members have said to us for years when they come back from touring in these countries is, wouldn't it be great if we had a signed system in the U.S.? They come here and they're very excited about the idea of it being supported and signed and easier. So that's really what spurred us on, is our own members asking for it. And believe me, they give generously to support my time devoted to this project. We don't receive any federal money to do this technical assistance. We receive small grants to pay for my time, and we receive member donations to do it.
Overall, where does funding for the U.S. bicycle route system come from?
Originally, there is no federal funding for the U.S. bike route system. It's all going to be funded through regular ways that bicycling infrastructure is supported at the local, national level. So, for example, Federal Highways has a program called Transportation Enhancements Grants. They also have a CMAC fund, which opportunities for bike ped funding come from those. You're going to see that there's going to, for this project, probably be a lot of private and public partnerships. Local organizations saying, we'd like to sign the system through our community, and we'll partner with the state to pay for those signs and we'll maintain them. So that's the next level that I'll be working on, is how to help find the funding at the local level so that they can sign the system or get things built to make the routes better. For example, some of the challenges we run into are bridge crossings. Oftentimes, a road will be really great for a cyclist, but then they'll come to a bridge and there will be no accommodation for a cyclist or a walker on a bridge. And so the state really has to find some funding to build onto that bridge or change that bridge structure so that it can accommodate a cyclist safely. So those are going to be the ways that we're going to look. And with the new Congress, they will be voting in a new transportation bill within the next probably 6 months to 2 years. We don't really know until the new Congress gets in place what that transportation bill will look like. We're seeing some threat to the traditional transportation enhancement dollars. So that's kind of nerve-wracking for the bicycling community because those are traditional ways that the U.S. bicycle route system would get funding for those infrastructure challenges that we want to work on with the states and the local communities.
Are there additional challenges to implementation?
There will be probably some I haven't even thought of yet, but I think some of the challenges, as I mentioned before, will be the buy-in from the local communities. You know, all we have to work on is what we've learned from states that have designated state route systems like Pennsylvania and Georgia and some others. And basically the lessons that they learned was that if that county or that local agency doesn't want to designate, there's no way you can force them to do it. And so you may have to take a route that you really like and change it and go around that county or that local jurisdiction. And that will be too bad. But I think our culture, our transportation culture, is shifting and changing, being more welcoming to cyclists. And I think a lot of that has to do with the interest in economic development in these kind of challenging times. So cyclists traditionally, if they have the time off to spend bike touring, they have some disposable income that they can spend in some of those communities. Not to say that every cyclist that will come through, we see a lot of people that do it on a very fine budget, but there are also those that do it for pleasure in their retirement years, and they like to stay in the nice hotels, and they like to eat a nice meal in a nice restaurant.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would like to encourage the listeners to find out more on our website, adventurecycling.org/USBRS. If you're Facebook users, to fan our U.S. Bike Routes Facebook page and become a follower on our Twitter page. I keep a general blog rolling through those pages. I write a blog every week about the U.S. bicycle route system and our progress on it. And eventually, as we get closer to implementation in Washington State, we're going to need people that want to support this with knowledge, the cycling community's knowledge and support. So I'll be calling on people in your state to get involved at a higher level. But for right now, I would love to see people just get more in tune and in the know about what we're trying to create here, and also to make sure that our leaders, our political leaders, know how important funding is for bicycling accommodations and not to leave us behind, because it's really important in this day and age that we accommodate all users. You know, it's been generally shown through many studies that people are happier when they can get around and greet each other on the streets, and you're not having to get into your car to drive across the street to go to a grocery store. So I think, in general, supporting bikeable and walkable communities, livable communities, would be great for your listeners.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Jenny.
Thank you, Diane. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
You have just been listening to Jenny Sullivan, Special Projects Director and U.S. Bicycle Route System Coordinator for the Adventure Cycling Association. For more information, check on the web at www.adventurecycling.org/USBRS. Again, that's adventurecycling.org/USBRS. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.